Before we worship, I would like to read a word of God from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, from verse 35. Here our Lord Jesus gives these admonitions to be watchful and ready. From verse 35, it says, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth, and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants." And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. I believe this verse is very noteworthy and should be remembered very carefully, for we know that the coming of our Lord is very near, but we do not know when he will come. But here, verse 40 says, "Be ye therefore ready also." In those days, the Lord spoke to his disciples. Today, he speaks it to us through his word and gives us this warning that we should take it to heart. "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Then Peter said unto him, "Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But and if that servant say in his heart, 'My Lord delayeth his coming,' and shall begin to beat the menservants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did not commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I, if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence, till thou hast paid the very last mite.
Du wirst von dort sicherlich nicht loskommen, bis du auch den letzten Heller bezahlt hast. Bis dahin.
Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. Let us stand up and call upon God for his blessing. Faithful God, we thank you from the depths of our hearts that you have preserved us until this hour, that you have guided and led us, that we can say, I too am one whom the grace has found. I too have been seized by the hand of the Good Shepherd, as the song goes. Faithful Lord, and although we can say all this, we ask from the bottom of our hearts, grant us all grace, Lord, that we may remain watchful, that we remain praying, Lord, that we may be ready when you appear. For we do not know the time or the hour, although we know that your coming is very near. But Lord, be merciful to us. Help us, O Lord, to stand firm in this evil and wicked world in which we have arrived. Lord, we worship you and pray to you. Stay with us, O Lord. We also ask you, Lord, to take from us everything that is not from you. Take from my life, from all our lives, Lord, whatever cannot stand before you. And we also ask you, Lord, reveal yourself to those to whom you have not yet revealed yourself, and correct those, Lord, who are yet to be corrected. Faithful God, we ask you for your blessing tonight. We have read your word and wish, Lord, that we might be formed so that our loins are girded and our lamps burn, that we might be like people waiting for their Lord. Faithful God, we look to you and ask you, be gracious to us. Help us in these days. Help all your people, Lord, in all peoples, tongues, and nations. We also pray for all who are sick, for all who are afflicted, for all who suffer. Lord, my God, you know each and every one of us. but we also pray for ourselves, Lord. Be merciful to us, Lord. Watch over us, Lord, and continue to speak to us this evening. We ask this, Lord, in your wonderful name. We see, Lord, your word is yes and amen. It is fulfilled just as you said, just as your mouth has spoken. So we see nowadays that everything is being fulfilled, Lord. Praise and honor, glory and worship be to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We once again heard a wonderful word with many topics in it that we could all delve into. There is indeed a diversity in the words of the Lord. It is strange if theologians were to judge our Lord. They would have to say he did not stick to the topic. He brought up different topics, one after the other, which were sometimes not connected at all, and left it up to us to sort it all out, to proclaim it, to bring it there, to put it where it belongs. And that is sometimes very difficult. You have surely noticed while reading how it moves from one topic to another, and yet everything has its place. Everything is in the right chapter, in the right context. The wise cannot cope with this. They shake their heads. Their lectures are elegant and have everything that belongs to them. But the Lord's way is quite different, in simplicity, sometimes in parables. Often he speaks up a little more, and yet enough remains hidden so that over time the Spirit of God can continually reveal new things to the people of God, shed new light on them, and make them great. If everything were already written down, then preaching would no longer be possible. Then everyone would already know everything. And so we come together, believing the Lord, that he reveals his word and his will to us through his word. When I think about this, I become deeply joyful and grateful. In the knowledge that God's grace has been given to us to recognize his ways, his will, his word, his mysteries, indeed, his entire plan of salvation. What a grace! And this is not just because we say so. It is true. It is true. When Paul was able to write at that time, I have declared to you the whole counsel of God, then that was true. Then it is so. We only have a few letters from him. But how many sermons did he preach to reveal this great counsel of God? Then he writes to the Ephesians, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, God has now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And God has always done this so that the matter does not become old and cold to us, does not become familiar, so that its appeal would be lost. God only ever reveals as much as is necessary to awaken in us a new desire for more, to put us on the right track, and then to lead us deeper into his word and into his will. We believe that all this is connected with a very great purpose. And you notice this especially when you are somewhere else and people who themselves have rank and name say with modesty, "We can all preach, but you have a message from God." And whether they want to or not, they have to say it. We are not storytellers. We are not interpreters of the word. We are people to whom God has entrusted his word. And that is an indescribable grace. As you know, I was recently in New York, or very close to New York, at this big international conference, and I really didn't put much effort into it. I just preached God's word, and I left the rest to God. And these were, as you know from Brother Branham's sermons, oneness people who believe a little extremely in the oneness of God, just as others believe in the Trinity. But even for them, and I'm not saying this to judge, the matter has become a doctrine, a knowledge, a dry, lifeless thing that they argue about and fight for. And then one evening, I actually spoke about the Godhead to these people who think they know God well from the books they have written. And what can I tell you? They were all surprised. And one said, "Brother Frank, we have talked about God, but we did not have the revelation. What we have heard here is new to us. And the key that God gave us, you all know, it is the connection between the Old and New Testament, and between the New to the Old Testament, that one does not just talk, but lets God speak, that one does not just talk about God's word, but lets God's word speak, and that then strikes home. It has to strike home. And so we recognize that God must have something planned for us." By the way, one of these brothers, whom I have not spoken to personally, has now written and stated in his letter that he has heard the sermons and seen the difference. And he literally said, "I believe that you have been sent by God with a message, not only for our churches, but for all of God's children." And in the letter, he asks if I will allow him to use the stadium in New York and he will take responsibility for making everything possible so that meetings can take place there if I only agree to preach the word there. God will open doors. And it was similar in London at the weekend. An old acquaintance who really has his finger in every pie, but when it comes down to it, he says, I know that God has called you and that you preach the word of God with truthfulness. Would you come? I say, yes, I will come. But on one condition, there will be no begging for money in my meetings. You all know how the Americans and the English do it. Who will give 100 marks? And who will give 500? And who will give 1,000? And then it goes on. And that is one condition. I never participate. I leave the platform when that starts. And he said, I promise you. Well, then, one day, God willing, we will also rent the town hall in London and preach the word of the Lord. Not out of our own ability or motivation. We have a message and we are not ashamed of it. We have the word of God, precious, deep, glorious, and wonderful. A word that has been revealed fresh from the throne in all its meaning, that we have been held back by earthly circumstances and the enemy until now can only have one meaning. That the overall situation of God's people has not yet progressed to the point where a ministry can be received and accepted. Everything must always harmonize, and we will have recognized this from Brother Branham's sermons. The time, the message, who is to bring it, you all know Brother Branham's sermons. Everything must somehow be ordained by God. And then one can confidently say, what God has joined together is always good. This is not something that needs to be said only at a wedding. I hope that I have given my last one. Someone asked me afterwards, did you really mean that you will never trust anyone again? I say, that is what I meant. From now on, I will not trust anyone. I was speaking in the dative case, as you all surely noticed. But also the other, for me, no, it has become a necessity for me. I have searched the Holy Scriptures, and I have seen the Lord and the apostles do many, many things. They performed miracles, they preached, they prayed for the sick, they did many things. But I cannot find a single place where even one man performed a marriage ceremony. That's how it is. Amen. And I said to myself, by what right should I do this? Amen. Brother Rus can continue to do it. And brothers who minister here, all brothers, depending on who feels strong enough. Thank you very much, says Brother Rus. We are among ourselves here, but I tell you, it weighs heavily on my heart. I don't know why. It's not easy to say here, even though you are smiling now, and I have to smile a little too, so as not to embarrass you. But I'm serious about this. I want to do what God wants me to do. I have also decided not to baptize anyone anymore, whom I do not know that he has become a believer, whom I do not know that he has experienced a conversion. When I hear someone praying and I feel inner approval and know here is someone who is a believer and has a right to be baptized, what have we done? Let's be honest. But God knows what is in our hearts. I judge myself on everything, not others. That's not my way. You will never see me judge anyone else personally. If I do, it will only ever be when it concerns the proclamation of the word. Then I have no choice. When it concerns the preaching of the word, I am not speaking on my own behalf. Then it is about God and God's word. But all the other things you have to be able to do without hesitation, doing it in faith. And if you yourself do not have this certainty for the action you are now taking, then you will judge yourself afterwards. For the Bible says, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And so, let us earnestly ask God to truly take us under the discipline and guidance of His Spirit, and that His will may truly be done in everything. In everything. We want to become a biblical church, and to this end, God will use His Word and will speak to us all and work in us all until the time comes. Now, I must say this again. Brother Rus has a special gift for reading scriptures and then saying, "Now Brother Frank will speak to us." That is, of course, but you all remember that we discussed Luke 12 here not long ago. And it is a difficult passage. The Gospels are more difficult, as are the prophets. The prophets are easier in comparison to the Gospels. In the Gospels, the mystery of the church, let alone the mystery of the bride, has not yet become clear. Here the Lord is speaking to the Jews. He said to His disciples, "Do not go to the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And then there are things written here that first need to be sorted out, that we need to ask ourselves where they belong, in what context. Here it speaks of servants whom the Lord will find doing this and that upon His arrival. And again in Revelation, at the sealing, "Do not harm the earth or the sea until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And then come the 144,000 who are Jews from every tribe, 12,000. And when one then wants to and must classify all these things doctrinally, it is not easy. And perhaps that is why you have never heard me preach mainly from the Gospels in all these years. It is only possible to put everything in its proper order when through the Spirit of God one can bring everything back into line with the letters of the apostles, with the book of Revelation, with the Old Testament. All could stumble over that word alone. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding. So not to go to the wedding, but to return from the wedding. Here it starts already. Here it starts. And so we could continue to draw comparisons here, including the thought expressed here in verse 39. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Nowhere in connection with the fetching of the bride of the Lamb does it say that the Lord comes like a thief. On the contrary, it is written, go ye out to meet the bridegroom. They all fell asleep, but they all woke up, trimmed their lamps, filled them with oil, filled their jars, went out to meet the bridegroom and waited for him. Yes, that is what is written. Thus it is written, Paul writes, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. But there will be a surprise. The only question is, when will it be? Who will it affect? Who will experience it? You can read about it in Revelation 16. That says, behold, I come as a thief. But what kind of coming is meant here? You can look it up with me. It's a Bible study anyway. In Revelation 16. And it's already long after the rapture. Already at the pouring out of the sixth bowl of wrath. And then we read in verse 14, Revelation 16, verse 14, about these three devil spirits, three unclean spirits like frogs. I'll read you the whole verse here. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And behind that it says, behold, I come as a thief. Have you been reading along? Here it says, behold, I come as a thief. Yes, when? Here the kings are already being gathered. And that, on this great day of God Almighty. And then we can read on. In verse 16, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. As I said, these are connections that simply have to be put where they belong. Yes, and that includes the word from Revelation 1, and strangely enough, the other promises are in between. But how grateful we can be, whether in Revelation 1 or 21, it doesn't matter. What is important is that God helps us to find the right context. And in that, I have complete trust in God. Not in myself, but in God, I have unreserved trust. Here we read it. Revelation 1, Verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. When that coming happens, that is not the rapture. At the rapture, those who were ready will enter into the joy of the Lord and celebrate the marriage supper with him. But then, when they see him whom they rejected, whom they considered worthless, when they see him coming with great power and glory, then they will mourn and weep. As it is written here, then all kindreds of the earth shall wail and will see him whom they have pierced. But we will not go into that now. If God wills, and there is still time, we will try to put everything in writing to give an overview of God's plan of salvation. For a believer, there is nothing more beautiful than to delve into God's plan, in fact, into the divine, to be absorbed in it, to live by it, to be drawn to it, to find the word of the Lord precious. And if this has not yet happened, then it must happen. Here was something else. Yes, in verse 47, and that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. These are also serious words. Knowing God's will is a wonderful thing, but not doing it is terrible. And if God has revealed his word and his will to us, may he give us the strength to do his will. And let us not always look to the front and think, hopefully you will be there soon. But let us all stand on God's side and say, Lord, take him, take them, take us all. Lord, take the ministering brethren, take everyone you want to use and all of us who participate in prayer. We are all in the same boat. We are all to form the body of the Lord without exception. And we must all attain this divine unity. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will. Yes, what do you think such words mean to me? How they speak to me? How one examines oneself and asks the question, Lord, have I known your will correctly? If so, have I done it? Before the face of God, none of us has time to take the others to task and think, is he already there? No. With such an attitude, we cannot appear before God at all. There's only one possibility, that God's word pierces our hearts like a stab. I am not the only one who has recognized the will of God, am I? Am I? Sometimes it seems that way. Sometimes it seems as if people are thinking, well, hopefully he will get there soon. I wish that too. But beyond that, I wish that the whole body of the Lord would be brought into divine lockstep, and that we would become one heart and one soul, trusting God and trusting one another, standing by God and one another, and walking together with God. Is that so or not? And then God must and will be with us. He cannot break His word. He stands by His word. What else was there? Oh yes, I am come to send fire on the earth. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? He had already been baptized by John long ago, before he began his ministry. Before his ministry came baptism. Then came the 40 days of testing and temptation in the desert, and then the ministry began. Here he was already well into his ministry, and yet I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I distressed? The way of suffering, to drink this cup to the last drop. We may all have felt bliss at our water baptism, even more bliss at our baptism in the Spirit. But when this baptism comes, this baptism of which the Lord speaks here, I am so anxious, then we too sometimes feel anxious. And we admit this honestly. And God will enable the sincere to succeed. He will let us succeed by His grace. Then comes the powerful verse. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three, and so on. Father against son, son against father, mother against the daughter, daughter-in-law against her mother. Everything is in turmoil. No one knows how things will turn out. This too is God's word. Should we expect anything other than what the Lord has said? But before that He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I anxious? I have not come to bring peace. That is generally speaking. He came to bring peace, but to those who are reconciled with God, to those who have found peace with God, the others will have neither divine peace, nor will they be ready to be in unity. For it is impossible. Two different things cannot exist together. I read the words from Matthew 12 earlier. This was Luke 12. Here it says in Matthew 12, verse 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house or family divided against itself shall not stand. The Lord also said this very clearly. Our task is to take God's side and say, Lord, here I am. Whatever path you have predetermined for me, I will follow. We must be ready to do this. There is no other way. In verse 28 it says, But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. At that time, it was part of proclaiming the gospel. In fact, to preaching the kingdom of God, it belonged to cast out evil spirits so that there would be peace in the kingdom of God, so that there is unity in the kingdom of God, so that there is peace in the kingdom of God, so that the nature of God could be revealed. But then it says in verse 29, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? And then comes the verse, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. It is still the same today. It is still the same today. We cannot gather and scatter at the same time. We cannot be for and against. We cannot go along and not go along. It is not possible. We must make our decision. For the Lord, it is simple. Everyone can say, I have made my decision for Christ. Let me say it today. If you have made your decision for Christ, and you know it by the Spirit of God, that your brother and sister have also made their decision for Christ, then your decision for Christ is simultaneously a yes and a decision for your brother and sister. You cannot just say, I am for Christ, but I am against my brother. Such a person should have himself examined. He must at least have an X-ray. It doesn't work. We are deceiving ourselves. We are fooling ourselves. What does the Lord say? Whatever you did for one of the least who believe in me, you have done it unto me. We must discern the body of the Lord. Christ is the head, and we are the members. And just as we accept the head and know that the head is not complete without the members, the head and the body belong together to form this divine unity so that the Lord can come into his own. The hackneyed word, love, must become new to us, but then in its full divine meaning. Who does not speak today about love, about charity? I recently had someone, it was now in London, at breakfast, a very respected businessman. He said, Mr. Frank, we have about 30 charitable causes that we support. Whether we give $5 here, $2 there, or 10 there, but about 30 causes that we support. I said, dear sir, that is certainly the inner urge that motivates you to do so. But I asked, what about the salvation of the soul? About what God has offered you? And we had a good conversation. There are people who want to express something, but it is of no use. First, what can give rise to divine life and the mind and nature of Jesus must be planted within us. Only divine things can come from God. We have said this, and we will say it until the end. People produce people, doves produce doves, sheep produce sheep, everything according to its kind. As the Lord God ordained and said in Genesis, let every seed yield fruit according to its kind. People talk about evolution, about this and that. God is an original creator. He made everything original. Every crossbreeding is doomed to failure anyway. But what I wanted to say is this. Just as our Lord was revealed as the Son of God in human form, because the Word became flesh, so we must be revealed here as sons and daughters of God. God's Word must become divine reality through us. And when we say to one another, I love you, it must come from the heart. Then it must be meant. Otherwise, what John writes may happen to us. How can you love God, whom you do not see, if you do not love your brother, whom you do see? Words will not be enough on the day of the Lord. There must be a divine deed behind them. And may the Lord work in me, in you, and in all of us, so that we have only one desire. Almighty God, come and claim your right. You have revealed your word and your will to us. Now give us the strength and grace to do your will according to your word. And then he will be honored and glorified. I would like to ask for your prayers for my trip to Africa and wish you all God's blessing from the bottom of my heart. Remember me, and I will remember you. May it please the Lord to bring into being a biblical church that rightly bears his name, that rightly proclaims his word, so that he may be glorified and honored and come into his own. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand. Heavenly Father, with all my heart, I thank you for the unspeakable privilege of being gathered together in your presence, in your name, under the sound of your word, under the covering of your blood, under the guidance of your Spirit, as your people. My God, if it were up to us, we would not be worthy to hold the Bible in our hands. We would not be worthy to speak your word with our lips. But we have experienced your grace and forgiveness. We are allowed to draw near to you because your blood was shed. We thank you for this. Beloved Lord, I commend Brother Rus and the ministering brethren to your word and your grace, O Lord. As Paul said back then, be with them, Lord. Oh, that we may stand behind them in prayer. Beloved Lord, create such a close connection And let us recognize who is causing all the disturbances. I mean the disturbances to the connection to you. O beloved Lord, grant us your grace and be with us all. How wonderful is your word and your plan. How clear, O God. O God, truly you have given light in the evening time, and you will preserve it for us until we come from believing unto seeing. To you, the Almighty God, we dedicate this place in particular. Lord, it is as if the crucifixion took place here, as if everything happened as it did in Jerusalem. And it is as if everyone is looking here to see what is going to happen. O my God, and none of us is able to do anything, but it is you to whom all power in heaven and on earth has been given. Everything must bow and submit to you. You speak one word, and it is done. We wait for this word, O Lord. And when it comes, we too will go forward. Bless the church. Help all in their trials, O Lord. You know that no house, no family is spared. O beloved Lord, be with us all by your grace. We praise once again the power of your blood, your word, and your spirit. And we ask you to perfect us and bring us into step with you according to your word. Amen.